Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition to Attention Talk Radio. We have Bob Novotny in the house in our virtual studios, and we're here today to talk about managing ADHD in the classroom, a teacher's insight. I'm thrilled to have Bob on the show. I've been wanting to do this program for a very long time, but had difficulty finding somebody because I didn't want an expert here, there, or yonder. I wanted somebody who actually works with children in the class and knows what they're doing. So this is going to be a great show. Really quick, the date stamp of today is Wednesday, August the 31st at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the year 2010. Okay, well, that's date stamping it. Let me run through a couple real quick announcements for our listeners out there. You can get our schedule of shows, upcoming shows, sent to your email box by signing up for our newsletter. If you go to attentionradio.com, that's attentionradio.com, just sign up and we'll send that stuff to you. We've got a lot of great programming coming up, and I've hinted to this last week, and I will again. Looks like we've got a package of shows that's going to be put together for ADHD Awareness Week that I think you're going to be very excited with. We have some great guests, some great topics. It's going to be really exciting, so watch for more information on that. A reminder out there to our back-to-school crowd, Time Timer is offering a $10 discount on their 3-inch size Time Timer model, which I encourage everyone to check out at timetimer.com. I've got my iPad version going, as I do every week for this particular show. The offer is going to end tomorrow, so you need to call before the close of business tomorrow at 877-771-TIME. I'll repeat that, 877-771-TIME. Again, it's $10 off. I believe that model retails for $20, so basically it's a half-off offer. So we also like to thank Time Timer for that special. Oh, when you call customer service, tell them that you heard about it on Attention Talk Radio in order to get that discount. The CHAD conference is around the corner, November 10th through the 12th, over 100 miles up the road at Disney. Go to chadd.org for more information on that. And if you're going to go, look out for me because I'm anxiously going to be there, and I'd love to meet you guys. Also, this year's virtual ADHD conference is going to take place August 3rd through the 6th, so mark your calendars for that. To get more information, go to adhdconference.com. Let's see. We have any other major announcements? Yes. CHAD is Congress is doing a lot of stuff right now, and they're looking at kind of combining some programs right now, which will have an impact on everybody in the ADHD learning disability space. And you're encouraged to learn more by going to chadd.org and contacting your congressman and expressing your views and your concerns on what's going on. So with that, we got that behind us. Let's get into media stuff. First of all, again, we have Bob Novotny on the show. And, Bob, you survived the hurricane.
Hey, Jeff, that's right. I did survive the hurricane, and thanks for having me on your show tonight.
Yeah, because you're out on the outer bank. Well, you're basically in North Carolina, so you guys got hit as it skirted up the East Coast. And, did you have to get evacuated?
We had an evacuation, and we also have a roof we have to replace. So, but we're alive, and things are good, so that's all right.
And you have power, and I'm thankful you were able to call in today because this is a treat. Real quick, Bob's basically dedicated 35 years as a classroom math teacher, coach, and administrator helping students learn to learn, and find enjoyment in learning. He's coached high school, middle school, football throughout his time. In addition, he's coached baseball, basketball, lacrosse, track, and field. Throughout his career, he's also taught and mentored many students with ADHD and other learning issues and worked closely with the learning support team and parents. He's been involved in the development and implementation of hundreds of IEPs and 504 plans. For several years, he served as the educational expert in the National Experts on Call program to promote ADHD. He's currently the president of Nuvo Educational Enterprises and plans to publish and promote educational materials through the web, teleseminars, and workshops worldwide. Most important, he's the father of a young adult with ADHD, Jared Novotny, and yes, he's married to Michelle Novotny, a recognized expert in the ADHD field and the woman who was involved in writing the Senate resolution that brought about ADHD Awareness Day. So this is exciting. Thanks for coming on the show, Bob.
Well, you're quite welcome, Jeff. Once again, thanks for having me.
This is, as I had mentioned, this is special for me, and I want to frame this out because when we were at promoting the show and people were on Facebook and Twitter, I think people maybe got the wrong impression, like maybe you specialize in a classroom full of kids with ADHD or learning disabilities, and that's not the case. Specifically, I was looking for a guest that came on who's in a normal classroom setting, maybe anywhere from 25 to 30 kids, maybe with, you know, 3, 4, or 5 in those, because I think that presents some challenges. And I just wanted to hear about you sharing your experiences for parents and educators and some of our homeschooling crowd out there. So I guess begin with this, since we're on the school year, tell us about how you would prepare for the school year in relationship to having some kids with ADHD, at least beginning, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. The biggest thing for me, before the students come in, we have teacher and service days, is to get hold of my IEPs and my 504 plans for the year and make sure I know what the accommodations are for each student before that begins. And that helps me identify which students are ADHD as well. So that's really the big key, knowing how to do and so forth.
So you'd sit down and, I guess, kind of review them and get to know what's going on?
That's correct. That only gives you a little bit of an insight, though. The real key is once the students get in the classroom, you get to know them. Then you can really, get the program rolling at that point. But
so
it's important to know ahead of time.
So after, just tell us about the first week of school.
All right, first week of school is always it's an exciting time. We start at 7:20 in the morning, and we go to about 2:25 in the afternoon. So the first week, even though it's 7:20 in the morning, the students are alive and they're bursting with energy, and at that point they're very enthused about having a great year, a successful year, and they're excited about seeing their friends and getting started. So it's like the first week's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second week hits, and, you know, that 7:20 starts to catch up with them a little bit. Reality sets in.
In the first week, when they're all kind of coming in, they're all excited, do you do anything special?
Well, for me, the biggest thing, I know it sounds a little funny, but I greet the students out in the hallway almost every day as they come into the classroom. That little bit of eye contact, maybe it's only 3-5 seconds, hello, and I greet them every day. I get a good feel for them over the course of a year and course of the first week. Some students come in and you sense the hesitation about being in the math class. You sense maybe the excitement, but just that little interaction beginning of class, before class begins. And, of course, class begins, I try to get involved in activities right away.
So I guess what I'm hearing you saying is you're basically, rather than sitting at the desk kind of with your head and preparing some stuff, you actually kind of get out in the halls and try to read the students as they're kind of coming in the door to get a sense of what you're dealing with that day?
Yep, let them know that I'm approachable and that I care about who they are, and I'm just there to teach math, right?
And then when they get into classroom, tactically, basically, what do you do from there?
Well, tactically, we try to get the students started right away. A lot of times we start with like a group activity where they come in, they have a group activity, go to their groups right away. Some days they come in, I may have like a 2-point quiz on the board that goes over, previous homework assignments, so forth. But any type of activity, get them going right away. Some days maybe they come in and I notice they're dragging a little bit. I have them stand at the desk and we'll do things like Simple Simon Says. Just something to get them involved physically, mentally in the classroom process.
Oh, you said something. When you say involved, what do you mean by involved?
Involvement's the key. Involved in terms of, the way I involve people, we have homework every day.
Uh-huh.
And if the assignment lends itself to doing it, we have students put the problems on the board. But if they put problems on the board correctly, and neatly to get one extra credit point. So, you know, almost all the students volunteer. Even my ADHD students get excited about putting it up there. And it's a great tool in terms of work, having them work towards neatness. And once they get that one extra credit point, it's like, wow, this is great. I'm involved. I get an extra credit point. Something positive's happened. Asking questions. I'm big about having them ask questions, but at the same time, if I see a student that is sitting there and they're not involved in the process, I'll ask them a question. And a lot of the ADHD students don't like to have a question asked at times because they're afraid that, hey, it might be the wrong mistake. And
yep.
I'm aware of that, and I sort of lead them along, get them involved in the process. It's a great skill involvement. So it's really key.
It's interesting because in doing some research and leading kind of up to this and thinking, and I think involvement really is the key to actually kind of get them engaged, because if you don't necessarily kind of get them involved, then you don't necessarily have their attention, right?
Absolutely. And involvement's the key. And, you know, with the ADHD mind, it's not just beginning a class or like 6-7 minutes in the class to ask some questions. It's like I have to be in tune to it throughout the entire process, the entire class period. Because the ADHD mind, you know, you can have them focus for 6-7 minutes, and all of a sudden you can see the mind start to wander.
Yep.
And then it's
yep.
like, oh, I got to get them involved again. And
yep.
I'm constantly on the alert for that, keeping them involved, whether it's through a question, whether it's proximity. I walk near them and ask them to just see a piece of their homework. Something to always keep them involved in the process.
I tell you what, Bob, we need to run to a commercial break. For our listeners now and those that might listen to this in archives, if they need to get in touch with you or they got any questions, you have a website for them to go to, right?
I do. It's called teachingstudentswithadhd.com.
Teachingstudentswithadhd.com, and I presume there's a contact button on that website as well, right? Bob? Did I lose you? Well, hang on. I tell you what, we'll go to a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and, of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
I thought I could handle college, but I just got my grades. My first year was a disaster. I barely passed. My folks think I slacked off, but I really tried hard. I just could not keep organized with all my assignments. By the end, I just gave up. Maybe I'm just not cut out for college.
Did you know that students have the highest risk of failure during their first semester of college? That's especially true for students who learn differently. Many bright and motivated students with learning disabilities and ADHD have chosen Landmark College in Vermont in order to develop the learning strategies and confidence they'll need to succeed academically. Princeton Review says, simply put, Landmark College knows how to serve students who learn differently better than any other place on earth. We're now accepting students for our fall semester. Learn more at landmark.edu. That's landmark.edu.
Has your child been diagnosed with ADHD? Is he not fulfilling his potential? Success in Mind can help. We provide assessments that identify a student's learning profile of strengths and challenges. The result? A practical plan of strategies and tools that go beyond medication that parents, teachers, and students can implement together. If your child needs more success, visit Success in Mind at www.success-in-mind.org.
News, updates, and alerts sent right to your inbox. Sign up now at attentionradio.com. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome, everybody, back to Attention Talk Radio. With us tonight as our virtual guest is Bob Novotny. We're talking about managing ADHD in the classroom. Before the break, it was fascinating. What I understood Bob was saying was basically before the school year starts, he sits down, takes a look at all his IEPs, familiarizes himself, and when school starts, what's interesting to me, he's standing in the halls greeting the kids as they come in, kind of getting a read on them, and then immediately setting up some type of activity to get the students involved and engaged in what's going on in some type of group activity. Is that correct, Bob?
That's correct. Talking to group activities, Jeff, the group activities are really important. When we start group activities, normally it's groups of four. And I don't give the students a choice right away. It's just I just do it the way they're seated, four, 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 so forth. But in the first two or three groups, I start looking for leaders and paying attention to how my ADHD students are performing. Sometimes in a group task, the ADHD student can we may be working from, but their mind may be elsewhere. And sometimes that can be distracting, and sometimes they aren't focused. So I look for leaders. What I mean by leaders are other students, can be ADHD or not, but who are task-oriented and who are empathetic. And by empathetic, I mean students who aren't afraid to have a question asked them and take the time to answer the question, which is really important for the ADHD student.
Mm-hmm.
About the fourth group, I talk to the leaders ahead of time and ask them, hey, would you mind working with certain students and being a leader? And most times they say, sure, they like that opportunity. And sometimes I'll pair an ADHD student up with a group leader who is empathetic and who's willing to take the time to answer those questions. And
what's interesting to me in hearing you describe that, the thing that pops up, I'm very involved. My oldest son is an Eagle Scout, been involved in Scouts and Assistant Scout Master, all that kind of stuff for years. And one of the things you learn in Boy Scouts is you learn the patrol method where the boys boys basically kind of teach the boys. And as I have learned so many times is that if a peer is trying to help you in one thing, particularly a teenager will listen to them. Well, they won't listen to a thing that I'm saying. And what I'm hearing you do is you're looking for those leaders and integrate those people so that the students are really kind of helping the students kind of come along because they'll listen to each other, which is it's fascinating to me. And it's saying Boy Scouts have been around for 100 years and it's been working in that environment, so it's interesting to hear that's happening in your classroom.
You're a smart man, Jeff. That is absolutely correct. A lot of times peers reach students in ways I can't do that, and it's been really successful over the years.
And it's interesting. I'm kind of reflecting back in June. We had Patricia Quinn on. We were talking about parenting kids with ADHD when you have it, and some of the tips that she gave was actually really delegating a lot of stuff to the children to kind of get that stuff done, even to kind of hold the parent accountable so there's a symbiotic relationship. So it's interesting because typically I think a lot of times people will try to take control of it, but by pushing that stuff out to those that are involved is a great it's a great life lesson for them and actually delegating some of the work.
Absolutely. Along that line, Jeff, with the ADHD student, you have two types of feedbacks. It's like a positive feedback, positive reinforcement. One's extrinsic, one's intrinsic.
Uh-huh.
And ADHD student, a lot of the ones I've met with over the years, some are really positive, but a lot of the students intrinsically beat themselves up. They don't think they can do that problem. They defeat themselves before they even start. So extrinsically, that's something I can affect. And I don't just do it by myself. I mean, I'm certainly really positive with them, but by using other students also reinforce them that the process is just that much farther along. So you're right. Group activities, it's a great avenue to have that extrinsic motivation to be positive with those students. So it's been great over the years.
Let me ask you a question. What happens when you have a situation where a leader's not kind of working out? These are kind of the exceptions to the rule, but I think kind of important for those, particularly educators or listeners. So, you're getting involved in group activities, you're looking for those leaders, but what if you have an awkward situation? What then?
We always give the students a chance to change groups. And after a little bit, the students know. It's like when you walk in front of that classroom as a teacher, the students know whether or not you're there for them, to teach them, whether you're prepared. You can't fool them. It's the same thing for our group leaders. they're going to say something to students. And I tell the leaders out up front, you know, it may work, it may not work. So don't take it wrong if we switch people. And so students have no problem saying something in that class. I mean, it's great for everybody to have that open relationship. Everybody learns from it.
Absolutely. So after the kind of the group activity and get everybody kind of involved, then what happens?
Well, after the group activity finally takes hold, then comes the problem. Everybody's excited when they come to class.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking questions. And then comes the problem that occurs with ADHD. They're really excited about being in class now, and sometimes excitement spills outside of the subject area. And then
mm-hmm.
it's constantly we have to reinforce the reason why we're there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just to interact, but also to learn as well. But after that group activity kicks in, that positive excitement takes over, and that's a great moment, and that can carry you through the rest of the year.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I tell you what. I'm coming up on another break. So, again, for our listeners that want to contact you, what's the website again?
All right. Let me clarify real quickly. It's teachingstudentsadhd.com. It's not live yet, so if you want to contact me and get on that website, you have to go through my wife's website, which is Michelle Novotny, MichelleNovotny.com.
Excellent. And with that, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
The Virtual ADHD Conference is an online event that empowers you with the information, tools, and resources that you and your family need to succeed with ADHD. Join us at ADHDconference.com.
Okay, let's be honest here. How many times have you forgotten the wet laundry in the washer and it started smelling a little funky, so you had to wash it again, maybe even twice, in the same week? Well, you may be an ADD diva just like me. I'm Linda Rogley, and I founded the ADD Diva Network for women with ADD-ish tendencies, especially those of us 40 and better. The ADD Diva Network is a great place for support, connection, and a touch of whimsy. You can join us at addiva.net. That's addiva.net.
Awareness of how your brain processes information and emotion is the key to self-management and success in today's world. I am an international ADD coach. Contact me, Susan McIntosh, at susanmcintosh.com to see and hear how you too can be a success.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. We got Bob Novotny. We're talking about managing ADHD in the classroom. For the last break, we were talking about involvement in group activities, identifying leaders, and I was mirroring back how much what he was describing sounded like the patrol method in Boy Scouts. And then we were talking about, moving people around to get the right mix if maybe a group doesn't necessarily work in order to find some comfort and then to deal with that ADA student who's real excited. Bob, I do have an interesting question that kind of I'm curious. As a math teacher, I remember growing up, you go into math class, and at some point in time, you got to get up on the board and you kind of do you got to do a problem. And I know from coaching many people that I've worked with, when you ask them to give you sequential steps, with ADHD, they're kind of all over the place. They can, particularly in math, it's kind of like they just know the answer, but they don't know how they got there. Did you have students actually put problems up on the board? And for the ADHD students, did you ever see them struggle with trying to get the steps out?
Absolutely. We'll come back to homework in a second, but talk about the problem on the board. Yeah, I'm aware of that, and it's not always just ADHD students, but
okay.
The ADHD students are. When they start out with the problem on the board, they can be writing horizontally, they can be writing diagonally, they can be writing vertically. Their lines can be all over the place. But I'm aware of that, so I'm very good with that. We're not there just the end product is what's important. That's that they learn.
Mm-hmm.
So as they're working through the problem on the board, I'll just meander by, and I'm very approachable, and they may ask a question, or I may make just an observation, hey, why don't we just rearrange this? And we work together on it. And as long as they listen and do the rest of the problem, I still give them the extra credit point. So, yes, answer your question, they can be over the board, but I'm very approachable, and I help them organize their thoughts because I know that it's a long-term process, and the key is to learn to organize.
You didn't say this, but I kind of get this. I got this picture of you, like the student at the board, right, and you kind of being kind of right there with them, and kind of like almost blocking out the audience in the background, and just kind of like talking with them. Again, being involved and kind of helping them through those steps. Is that? Am I off base?
Yeah, I'll ask for volunteers. I want to go up one at a time. Normally, it's like 5 or 6 people at a time.
Okay.
So they're not always on the spotlight. And,
okay.
But so I'll be blocking out the crowd, and I'll just talk to them softly, and we'll work through the process. And as time goes by, eventually they don't even need my help. And
growing up, I learned disability and dyslexia, and I remember going to get up there, and there's always one person, and the spotlight was on you kind of doing that. And I'm hearing if you have a couple up there, it kind of diffuses that situation a little bit, and you're able to kind of deal with them individually, which is kind of cool.
That's correct, yep.
Hmm.
And it's great to see them grow and prosper that way, absolutely. And, Jeff, real quickly, just talk about the homework thing.
Yeah.
You know, I check homework every day.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I do that is it gives me a real great idea of the quality of the homework and also the completion. And for me, the completion part's really important for the ADHD student. A lot of times you see a student doesn't complete their homework. And that doesn't tell me necessarily that, hey, this student's not working hard. An ADHD student takes longer to do a process. It sometimes can take them 4 times as long as the average student to complete a problem. So if I see an ADHD student having difficulty and I stay on top of it and I find that the homework assignment is too long, we'll actually cut the homework assignment in half for them, or maybe in 1/4 them, just so they understand the concept. We lighten the load so they don't get burdened down and turned off to the homework process.
Fascinating.
So I throw that out to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob, we've got about 3 minutes to go. With what I probably have more to say than you got in a couple minutes, but some of the key points as a teacher that you kind of keep in mind that I think has led to your success as a teacher and working in that environment, what would you like to share with other parents or educators out there?
I tell you, communication. That sounds like an old acronym, but communication is so important. And it's not just, standing out in front of the classroom before class. But I make sure I go out of my way. When I'm walking down the hallway, I'm looking for my students. I'm not just walking down the hallway with my head in the air. And I'll particularly look for my ADHD students. And as I walk down the hallway, I'll talk to them not about math, but maybe 10, 15 seconds about how's life going.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm in the cafeteria, which is a great opportunity, I may go sit down beside a student for like a minute and just have a little general conversation and open up those lines of communication. That's such the key. The students have to know you're approachable and that you're always available for them. And when that happens, tremendous things occur.
You said it earlier, and the one thing that if I took one thing away from today's conversation, it's the involvement side. Both you being involved with them, and then creating the environment for them to be involved in the process. Because at the end of the day, when I'm in coaching environment, if you want to remember something, you actually have to notice it first, and then you have to pay attention to it. And involvement, if you're actually doing some stuff, helps you pay attention to kind of what's going on, and which really makes a lot of sense. And it sounds to me like that's been one of the keys to your success, both standing outside the classroom, being involved in the halls and stuff, and then getting the students involved in your classroom.
That's correct. I was a Boy Scout too, Jeff. Doesn't fall far from the tree. And that's absolutely correct.
Well, Bob, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the show. More importantly, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show after the hurricane and having some difficulties with your roof. And one more time for our listeners out there that want to contact you, the best way to do that is, you said go to your wife's site?
That's correct, michellenovotny.com.
That's Michelle with one L, Novotny, Novotni, correct?
That is correct.
All right. With that, everyone, thanks again for joining us in this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Catch us next week for another exciting show.